Tom, online?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Let's get this meeting going then. The Blooming Municipal Utilities Commission is called to order on Monday, November 27 at 11:45 a.m. Beth, everybody's here that I'm coming for? All right. Then let's just look at the agenda and I look for approval for the consent agenda.
So
motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. For discussion is the agenda, our minutes from the November 13 meeting, and then review and approval of the payment of our bills for $2,025,179.20. Is there any discussion on any of those items?
Madam Chair, just for a matter of record, I suppose we can remove the commissioner matter off there. Are we looking at the right one?
Oh, yes. On the agenda?
The approved consent agenda.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
I'd already X'd him, so. He's breathing easier over here sitting next to me. Well, is anything from manager Heron or financial officer regarding the bills?
No, nothing. Madam Chair, to add, bills are routine with the exception of our Pram substation engineering for the wetlands that was approved by the commission earlier.
Okay, if you would take a roll call for the resolution of payment of bills, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
And that resolution carries. Okay, then let us hear about the wind turbines and our power plant stormwater project. Update on that, and we'll call on Mr. Folkadal, please.
Thank you, Madam President, Commissioners. Happy to report that the wind turbine production has improved across September, or October, I should say. If you look at the graph on the front page, it's pretty obvious the purple line for 2017 is showing the best production that we've seen this month over the last 5 years. So everybody, I'm sure, is aware from walking down the street that it's been one windy month. It has continued through this month. Sort of a spoiler alert, November looks to be a pretty good month as well. But you can see that in October, on the second page on the tabulation, shows that we produced 996,000 kilowatts, which is about as good a month as we've ever had. Of course, that's due to Mother Nature providing us with some high winds. But at any rate, that's good news, and hopefully it'll continue through the end of the year.
Okay.
If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond.
I don't think so.
Okay. Moving on.
Go ahead.
Power plant stormwater project. I hope that all of you were downloaded the map and a brief description that goes along with it. It's a pretty complicated looking map, but it's kind of a complex situation back there. I wanted to kind of go through the chronology, the history of this Pacific Avenue project, to make sure that everyone gets on the same page going forward. In 2011 when I started here, I noticed immediately that the benchmark values, as they're called, were being exceeded on the Pacific Avenue sampling. And so I spoke to Wesley about that, and we decided to bring in Wenk Associates to help us out with that, with a plan to address it, because that's what our permit calls for us to do. So we did so, and they drafted a stormwater plan in 2012, and in 2014, we were able to have them prepare an RFQ and some forms, and actually went out and got bids. We went through the formal process because we did expect it to be over $100,000, and it was. Donick Incorporated submitted the winning bid, and we awarded that bid to them in 2016, early 2016. Had a little trouble getting going. I guess it was a busy year for them, and so they weren't able to get the work done in 2016, and as it turned out, that was probably a good thing because of all of the events that occurred, all the discussion in the winter of 2016-17, we decided to hold off on that project because of all the changes that the power plant was looking at. So we cut the project back to just the fence along 7th Street and put the rest of it on indefinite hold. I spoke with Dunnick about that, and they were fine with that. And of course, they did install that fence. And that's been a very good security installation. Since that time, our pedestrian trespass has been reduced to approximately zero. So it really helped out that way, and it's helped in other ways as well, I'm sure. What with all the other changes that were occurring, because of the requirements in our permit, I called the MPCA last July to let them know that we had decided to cease providing district heat in 2020. And that we more than likely would be discontinuing the use of coal in the meanwhile, and possibly the power plant would be shut down at that point in 2020. Well, they were pretty delighted to hear that. And agreed that probably wouldn't be the wisest thing in view of the upcoming plans to continue with our original plans for Pacific Avenue. They did suggest that we review our best management practices to see if there are any changes or reviews, and so that led to us contacting Wenk Associates once more. They actually came out to the site, learned of all of the changes and the new plans, and came up with some recommendations for us. So to let you know about that, I prepared this sketch. If I could draw your attention to that. The work that has been completed so far based on the Wenk Associate recommendations, we replaced a manhole on Pacific Avenue, and if you look at your sketch, it's on the left central part of the page where it says new manhole, a little brown circle there. That manhole had entirely collapsed. It was entirely a hazard, and so they just pulled out what was left of it and replaced it and put some short lengths of new line in to connect it to the existing storm sewer. That was in itself a huge improvement. Kevin Marty contacted Crow River Contracting to do that work, and they also removed some of the loose asphalt along 8th Street between Benson and Pacific Avenues. On the sketch, it's represented by the brown areas on either side of 8th Street, right in the middle of the sketch. They scraped off the crumbled asphalt and some of the mud and replace it with Class 5 and pack that down to get us through the winter. And then in the spring, they plan to come back and re-asphalt those areas. They had literally turned into mud holes, and we'd get a foot of water standing there every time it rained. They also raised the manhole cover on 8th Street, which is right between those brown areas. That cover had been buried about 8 or 10 inches below grade, and but we need access to that manhole. So they put in just an extra ring and regrouted everything and put a new lid on it, as the lid was gone. It was picked up by the snowplow. Also, we cleaned out, the line department was kind enough to come over with their equipment and sucked all the mud out of several of the manholes and catchment basins right around that intersection of 7th, so that we could kind of see what was going on. Then nobody has a good map of the buried utilities in that area. I've had Curly and the city crew over there a couple of times, and it's just kind of by guess and by golly. So this map is close to accurate, but it's not exactly to scale. And there are some missing parts. For example, there is a storm sewer line that runs along the north side of Pacific Avenue. It leaves that 8th Street area and heads east, but exactly where it goes, nobody's really sure. But at any rate, our concern is that area right around the intersection, and so we cleaned those out so we could make a plan on what to do. So the work to be completed includes, it's not on this list, but it includes bringing the city equipment in to televise the lines that are there so we can really get an accurate look of how far what line goes where. And that's on the schedule, but I don't know exactly when they're going to come over. Also, as part of the best management practices upgrades, Wank suggested that we place riprap and filter logs around the storm sewer inlets. And that would be the new manhole on Pacific. The existing manhole on Pacific straight north of 8th Street. And then the various catchments around that intersection as well. In addition to that, we plan to regrade the east end of the coal yard so that no runoff water escapes onto Pacific Avenue. That's been one of the kind of the more visible issues that we've had. Coal dust washing out and being tracked out of that area, and we're going to change the grade to fix that. We're continuing to review our best management practices, and we're going to graph water quality results of the stormwater sampling we've been doing to track the improvements over time. So that's about it for what we've got going on Pacific Avenue. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, John. Questions from anyone? One question, so when this is done by what you're doing, then the MPCA is going to be satisfied with that because of our potential closing of the power plant?
I believe that they will. The situation is obviously better than it was previously. And we are, by doing this in compliance with our MPDS permit requirements. Just for information, the sampling point where we pull stormwater samples is that existing manhole right in the center of the sketch, and from the stormwater manhole, and we pull samples out of there, send them to the lab, but the results that come back aren't subject to any hard and fast limits, so to speak. These are sort of advisory limits. But if we do exceed those advisory limits, we are required to take some sort of action to try to reduce them. So that's what we're doing, so we should be fully compliant. I'm sure that they'll be quite pleased when they see these results.
Good, so that, since we've got a couple of years to run, and they'll take care of them at that time, and then hopefully, depending upon what happens going forward, all of them would be taken care of. Okay, any other questions? Hearing none on that, thank you very much for your report. Next, let's talk about our natural gas service agreement. As you know, we've had started out talking with CenterPoint, and then we went to Connect Care Energy. Get a little mixed up there with that. So I will ask Chris Carlson to address that, please.
Good morning. This agreement is with CenterPoint Energy, and it's for them to provide for the delivery of firm and interruptible service at a discounted rate. We've worked through most of the language, but we're still waiting for a reply from CenterPoint Energy regarding the insurance and the waiver of liability. Now, this agreement needs to be executed by November 30th, which is this Thursday. So I tried to reach out to them this morning, did not get a reply. So we'll continue on until we can get this signed.
And that insurance has to do with the liability indemnification component that
They're
probably using a standard contract, and Mr. Scott has looked at it as well, I take it.
Yes, he has.
Any comment from you, Mr. Scott, to this?
No, I just reiterate what Chris said. We have the contract. We've requested a couple changes to require CenterPoint to maintain insurance, even if it's through a self-insurance program, as well as to scale back the expensive indemnification obligation they wanted utilities to assume. We'll do our best on that, and we understand that we need to get this finalized this week, so I'll continue working with Chris and John to improve the contract as best we can before it's signed.
Okay, thank you. So, you explained to us, Mr. Heron, regarding that, the resolution that we will make to do this while it's still in process, or what?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. The agreement, as stated, it's for delivery of gas. We do not have all our concerns addressed that we mutually agree to the verbiage that should be in, especially on the insurance piece of it. Therefore, we're asking the Commission to give consideration to authorizing execution of this agreement once we work through the final details of this agreement, which is only the insurance piece that is left. And as Ms. Carlson stated, we would like to have this in place prior to the end of the month, so by this week. And from what I understand, Commissioner Lamar will be out of town, so if the resolution would indicate that myself or Commissioner Mattern would sign it as our vice chair.
So the resolution that we're looking is to sign this agreement with Natural Gas Service with a CenterPoint Energy contingent on the approval of the contractual language regarding the insurance piece. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'll make that resolution and I'll look for a second.
Second that.
Discussion. Commissioner Mattern?
Thank you, Madam President. John, could you explain, first of all, why this contract is different than ones that we've had with CenterPoint in the past? Why the wording is different, why we're struggling with that?
Commissioner Mattern, I don't know if I'm able to answer that question, if this is different or not. This contract is for, well, it's different in the sense that it's for delivery only and not gas. If your question is relating to the insurance piece, I would say that is no. That's their standard language that they're proposing, and they are determined to maintain that standard language. So I don't know if that answers your question.
That helps there. And then the second follow-up to that, Can you go back a little bit and explain how this affects the deal with Connect, and is that related or
sure.
How that ties in?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner Madden. What we have, as Commissioner Lamar stated earlier, we have Connect Energy, which our last meeting, the commission authorized us to enter into a short-term contract, which we're working on a long-term contract with them. Same issue, we're trying to work through the insurances with them. Other than that, we have the details of the agreement worked out. CenterPoint was unable to deliver us firm gas, so they referred us to Connect Energy. Connect Energy had the gas volumes available that we needed, so Connect Energy is brokering the gas for us. However, we need CenterPoint's distribution system in town to pick the gas up from the northern buying station, or Connect or CenterPoint is purchase it from Northern Natural Gas. So Connect Energy worked out the terms with Northern, that's in their agreement, for them to deliver the gas to CenterPoint system, and then CenterPoint picks it up from there. So Connect reached out to CenterPoint, and Connect reviewed this agreement as well, had a number of modifications to this agreement that CenterPoint accepted, and Connect Energy represents us. We signed an agreement with them to represent us in these contract reviews. So that's why they were involved with that. So they're recommending Connect is, with the exception of the insurance, that we go forward and execute this so that they can deliver the gas that we're buying from them to our plant.
And then finally, I guess the resolution as stated is kind of contingent upon working out the agreement and finalizing the terms. If we aren't able to agree to the terms, what happens by November 30th or whatever the deadline is?
If I can refer this to Mr. Scott, if you want to take that, Mr. Scott, and talk a little bit about your negotiations and your recommendations and what we might have to concede to.
Sure, I'll do my best. Commissioner Madden, members of the commission, essentially there's two issues in the contract that we are raising with CenterPoint, objecting to their standard language. my understanding in working with John and Chris on this is that this is a contract that the utilities needs in place. We are, making our concerns known and requesting changes to CenterPoint. We're, I think, at this point waiting for a response from CenterPoint on our latest articulation of those concerns. I think we all understand, though, that we're doing the best we can, and at the end of the day, we need this contract in place. So if the position of CenterPoint is that under no circumstances will they deviate from the language in the contract, ultimately it would be a staff decision to enter into it anyway, understanding what that means for the risk to the utilities, and staff would be in a better position to understand that anyway. I'm just kind of pointing out what the risks are under the standard language. So, try and boil that down. I guess we're not envisioning that these concerns are going to derail the whole contract. I think so the staff will be recommending that, and prepared and is recommending that the commission authorize it to finalize this contract, no matter how much progress we can make on our issues in the next day or two.
Thank you.
Can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
I think the whole reason why this came about is because we need gas on a firm basis in order to supply steam to the city heat. And if Boiler 3 is down, we still need to run Boiler 4, which is gas, to make that steam for the city heat, okay? And the gas that we've had in the past has always been interruptible. Interruptible was fine because we always had coal or gas. But now we need to be able to run gas no matter what. And we can run up to 12 decatherms a day on gas. That's the firm piece, 1,200 decatherms a day. And so that's why this new agreement was made. That's why Connect Energy was brought in, because Connect Energy can deliver, no, not deliver, they can provide the firm gas. They can provide the gas. And it's CenterPoint Energy that provides the delivery of the gas, whether it's firm or interruptible.
All right, as Mr. Scott indicated, Chris, myself, we've had a number of discussions with Mr. Scott about what our exposure is with CenterPoint standard language for liability, which is basically minimal at best. And our exposure is, we feel, is very minimal as well. And we're working with CenterPoint to get them to assume some liability in this contract, and from there we're going to have to move forward and execute it. But it's their standard contract. They're claiming they don't deviate from that with any of their customers. So that's a challenge that we're working with.
And it's a short-term agreement that will get us through to the end of the district heat being decommissioned.
And this is some the one sticking point with Connect Energy that we only did for 5 months was the same similar thing to this.
We're very similar, and we're still working through that piece with Connect Energy as well before we enter into a contract with them out to 2020. It's apparent that we're going to be deviating from our standard indemnification clause there as well. So,
Madam Chair, yeah, thanks for clarifying. You know, I was a little bit confused between the Connect Energy and what's the other one who was just talking about?
CenterPoint,
yes. But my question is, just quickly, maybe just a little clarification that I didn't understand. If you look at the contract 3.3 and 3.4, is this something, you know, maybe the language of, you know, delivery charge demand rate of 4.20 cents per decatherm, and then 3.4 indicates 0.45? Is that two different separate charges that has someone with the commodity and the other one is different, or looking 3.3 and 3.4?
There are two different charges. One is the delivery charge demand. And the other is the delivery charge commodity.
Okay.
There are two different line items on the bill.
So they're always separate. They're not combined. They're always two separate charges. Is that?
Yes.
If I expand on that just a little bit, the one charge is a fixed monthly charge that we have to pay whether we use any gas or not. And then, like Chris had indicated, the other then is the commodity usage or the usage charge.
Other questions? Hearing none, roll call please, Beth.
Certainly. Commissioner Holtz?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Good. Thank you. Okay, and next we'll go to our financial reports with Denise Runge, and let you take it from here.
Thank you. First one, these are for August, and the first one is for the electrical division. Looking at month of August, margins $540,000, year-to-date $2,785,000, last year-to-date $2,175,000, so we're approximately $610,000 over where we were at last year, and a large portion of that is due to the EAA that we implemented in 2017 that was not there in 2016. Going to the water division financial statement, margins for the month of August, $127,000. Year-to-date, $573,000. Last year at this time, we're at $313,000. So again, we're ahead of last year, $260,604. Our revenue is up slightly for the water division, and then expenses are down slightly, attributing to that $260,000 of additional margin over last year. third financial statement is for the heating division. Month of August, we have a loss of approximately $15,000. Year-to-date, we're at $219,000. Last year, at this time, we're at $54,000, so an increase of $164,000. A large portion of that is attributed to our expenses being down, obviously not doing nearly as much maintenance, and a lot of the customers that would have had issues that we would have needed to repair have decided to just change their system out with the impending shutdown on 7/1/2020. In addition, their depreciation, a lot of the stuff had been fully depreciated, so the depreciation is down considerably from last year. The final financial statement covers all divisions combined. Month of August, margins of $652,000. Year to date, we're at $3.5 million. Last year, we're approximately $2.5 million. So overall, we're about $1 million ahead of last year. And again, a large portion of that is attributed to the EAA that we implemented for 2017. Any questions on any of the financial statements?
Looks good so far. Get them through and get some money there put aside. Okay, thank you, Denise. We'll go on to General Manager Hammond's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first item is our self-evaluation. I believe Beth emailed them out, as well as you have a hard copy in front of you, so whichever is your preference to fill out and return back, and we'll compile the data and bring it in front of the Labor Committee at our next Labor Committee meeting, and then back in front of the Commission as a whole. City Council has set Commissioner Lamar and myself attended last week Monday. City Council meeting requested that the public hearing be set. City Council granted our request, so public hearing is set for December 4th. Anybody that has time or wants to attend, you're welcome to attend with us. Attending myself and Commissioner Lamar, I believe, plans on attending. So we'll be at that meeting to answer any questions that may come up. And then we have Labor Committee is set. I believe that date has been set for Monday, right after our next commission meeting.
Correct, December 11th.
So that will follow that. That agenda should be fairly short. And then the Planning Committee will be meeting on December 15th, and that will be a lengthier Planning Committee meeting again, as you can see by the number of items that are on there. And then we have our APPA legislative rally coming up. Hotel rooms have been booked for Sunday night, starting Sunday night. Commissioner Mabul, Commissioner Lamar have registered. If there's other commissioners interested, please let us know. And also, I ask that you look at the information in your packet today at the pre-registration. If there's not an interest in taking any of the pre-registration in, we can cancel the rooms for Sunday night, and it'll be just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights. So please take a look at that and let Beth know their interests there. So with that, unless there's other questions to the commissioner's report, that would be my report.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Any questions? Manager here? Hearing none, anything else to be brought before the commission? Anything else to be brought before the commission today? If not, meeting is adjourned.
Ooh. Thank you.
Man.
Thank you.
I want you to really know it's done and over with.
Enjoy the warm weather.
Yes. We just had one meeting this afternoon.